Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Rolling along here on a Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away this week. Sneaky Joe DiBiase is at the controls as always. And joining us right now on the Wesker Hotline is none other than our own Sal Capaccio. You all knew that already because everyone knows this song. It's probably some of your ringtones. Sal, good afternoon. How are you, bud?
I'm good, Bulldog. It is funny. I was out a couple weeks ago. And my wife and I, we sat at the bar, and there was a divider between us to the next people over, you know what I mean? And a couple of guys were sitting there, and guy goes, is that Sal Capaccio next to me? And I said, yeah, how are you? And he's like, I recognize your voice. And I said, oh, yeah, how are you? And he said, I just got to ask you one question. Do people always sing that song wherever whenever you go somewhere? And I said, yes, they actually do. Like, I'll be out and about, and my wife started laughing because she knows it's true. Like, we could be just anywhere randomly, and someone will sing that song if they see me.
This might be something I should ask in the context of asking you for a story about having a drink with someone famous. But does your wife, like, you're, I have a feeling you have a hard time toning it down when you're out. In other words, people probably recognize your voice frequently. Right. When my wife and I first started dating and when we were first married, we'd go out places. And for her, the big adjustment was like, I've learned over the years to sort of keep it down a notch because I'm used to doing this, right? I'm projecting and talking like this is just right. And when you're younger, I think maybe it's a little harder to separate like your indoor voice from your outdoor voice, if you will, you know what I mean? And she would, we'd be in a restaurant, you know, sometimes it would be a nice place, sometimes just whatever. And she'd be like, I can see people turning their heads when you talk, which always kind of freaked her out. Eventually I got better at sort of controlling that so that I don't call attention to us like that all the time anymore. But I can remember her like for it, this, you know, for years, maybe be like, oh, God, can you just please just dial it down, please, just a little bit, because I don't need people turning their heads.
It's hard for me to dial it down, but yeah, I mean, it just depends on where you are, right, too. You know, you don't want to be too loud to people next to you and things like that. But I don't do it for that specific reason. You know, when you started in radio, your voice was the thing. People didn't know you from, unless they saw you on TV do a spot or something, which I know you had done a little bit. But now with social media and Twitter, I mean, my face is everywhere, you know, for what I do. Yep. And it's part of my platform. It's part of me. It's part of my brand, basically. So I get recognized way more for my face, but it does happen with the voice. And that's actually what's weird to me is when someone says, I recognize your voice, and I'm like, wow, that's weird. Yeah. Whereas normally it would be the face.
Yeah, no, you're right. With social media presence, for sure, there that has changed, and I do, you know, I do get recognized in that way, which is way more normal. The other thing was a little was I don't want to say it was weird. It was just it was different, and it was an adjustment for her, and honestly for me, because I was pretty new at all this mm-hmm. then, and so anyway, the Bills. We should start on another offensive lineman signing. Sal, they've got some bodies there. I mean, I don't know if we know for sure. I think we might have an opinion about who their starting five are going to be, but they have added some competition in the form of depth here and again today.
Yeah, you know, just a week and a half ago, they had not signed any offensive linemen from another team. The only offensive linemen they had on their team were guys that were on the team last year. Like, every single person on the roster, an offensive lineman, was a returning player. That has changed. In the last 9 days, they've signed Bobby Hart from the Bengals, Jamil Douglas from the Titans, and Forrest Lamp now from the Chargers. So now they're starting to add depth. And I would say out of those three, I think Forrest Lamp is the one guy I would point to say, don't discount maybe this guy fighting at least for a starting job. I think the left guard spot is Cody Ford's to lose. But I wouldn't discount him losing it because I don't think he's shown enough to convince me that he is clearly the starting left guard. I think Ike Butker will give him a fight there. But either way, that job could be, I guess, the only one you'd consider really up for grabs, so to speak. But I think Cody is the incumbent, and he starts out with it. But I think Forrest Lamp is either going to be a pretty main backup, if you will, or even give a fight to that left guard spot.
Yeah, it is. You know, do you say that about Ford? I mean, the draft status, I think, matters for this. But really, the draft status, it comes with the talent, right? So I think the Bills, probably rightly so, look at Ford as someone who's got a lot of athletic ability that they have yet to really tap all the way into. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, and I think they probably, I think it's been a disappointment for them that, you know, him switching positions and moving around maybe hasn't gone as well as they have expected, because he does have position flexibility, but maybe that's hurt him, right? I think he settled in at left guard a little bit. So we know Sean McDermott and the organization really values position flexibility, but they used him at right tackle. It just didn't work out as well as they wanted. Now they have a right tackle. It's fine. He's a guard. I mean, that's what he's going to be now going forward. We know they have their tackles. They're not looking to put him at tackle anymore. And maybe that's where also they feel that, you know, he'll be better off now that he knows what he's playing. And not that he was going to be a tackle last year, but he still played a little right, played a little left. He's had some injuries. So, yeah, I think that they probably believe there's a lot more in there, but maybe him settling in will have a lot to do with that.
All right. Well, it's another sensible move in that they may prefer the outcome of Ford, you know, having that job. How'd you say it? It's his job to lose. But he is coming off a serious injury, so you want to make sure you've got options, right? I mean, and even beyond Ike Butker. So they've afforded themselves that. So, you know, sensible and good. I mean, everything they do, we sensible and good. I mean, not every guy is met with applause, right? The tackle they signed last week, I think, was maybe one of the worst tackles in the league last year. So, you know, there are some things that maybe you don't. But even that, I think you tend to give them the benefit of the doubt, right? And go, well, maybe they see something in there that they can fix and whatever. And again, it's not someone you're really counting on anyways. So,
and I should probably at least tell the listeners who Forrest Lamp is. I mean, he was just a second-round pick just 4 years ago. And he played mostly left tackle in college at Western Kentucky. Comes into the NFL. He plays only guard in the NFL. He has an ACL injury his first training camp, misses the whole year, comes back, really doesn't even suit up that much his second year. Third year, earns the starting job. Like, he started off as a backup. He gets to be the starter by week 6. Like, he earned that, and then he breaks his leg, and he misses the rest of the year. Comes back last year, Bulldog, and starts every game. So, you know, it just, honestly, he was a very highly touted prospect who's just had a lot of injuries early in his career, but given the fact that he played 16 games last year, you think maybe that's all behind him, and you hope for that.
Yeah. Reads a little bit like Cody Ford.
I agree.
To this point, right?
That's right.
Yeah, right? Second-round pick, played some tackle, going to play some guard. Yep. Yeah, all right. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR. One of the reasons we wanted to talk to you today is the lengthy piece you recently put up at Odyssey.com and WGR550.com, Sal, is on the draft, sitting at 30. And I think you do this every year. Like, what are the options? Move up, move down. What's it going to cost? What might the Bills be thinking? Take us through a little bit of what you laid out there.
Well, there's obviously three options for the Bills at pick number 30. They can either trade up, they can trade down, or they can stay. So what I did was I wrote all three options and A, what it would probably cost to trade up, B, what they would probably get to trade down. And I tried to make the case for each, by the way. It's not just, you know, here's what they can do. I make the case kind of why they maybe should do each one of these things and then let people judge for themselves. And I think really what it comes down to is, and you could look at it both ways, the roster is set. We know that. They have a good roster. It's hard to have a pick come in at number 30 to make an impact. So you could look at that one of two ways, and you could say, well, then trade up to get a guy who really can come in and make an impact and is really like the one guy you need to get over the hump in a Super Bowl window. And I think that's totally legitimate. And in fact, if you give up picks later, like a fourth round pick or a third round pick, I think in this scenario, the Bills might be okay with that because, well, even though those are high picks, all seven picks aren't making the team maybe this year. They have seven draft picks and it's such a good roster. I mean, Bulldog, Isaiah Hodgins was a roster bubble player last year. Dane Jackson, for as good as he was, didn't make the team. It's going to be hard for later round picks. So I think from that aspect, trading up could be something they would look at. And then trading down, it's really kind of the same thing, which is you're really not going to get an impact player at number 30. You'll get somebody, a good football player. Why not trade down and then maybe even add to next year's draft picks if you can to make sure you're always restocking the shelf, so to speak. So you always have options and you're definitely still getting more kicks at the can for good backup players to replace guys who you might have to move on from because you can't afford them anyway.
Right. I've read this piece, but I don't have it memorized. So for our audience who are just listening along here and not reading it as we're speaking, what is the cost? And before we get to that, do the Bills have picks in every round, or are they missing? They're missing a fourth, maybe?
They're missing a fourth. They have two fifths. They've basically swapped a fourth for a fifth. They have one in every other round. Their seventh is not their seventh, but they still only have one seventh, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So here's what it basically would cost just based on most recently. You don't have to go far to look at when the number 30 pick has been traded either way. Last year, the Packers traded up from number 30, only four spots. Now, I will say they were going to get a quarterback, Jordan Love, and oftentimes getting a quarterback moving up, you will pay a little bit more. But they gave the Dolphins an extra fourth. So just to move up four spots from 30, they gave up a fourth rounder. Now, if you go back to 2017... again, a quarterback, but the Chiefs go from 27 to 10, where the Bills were picking, they give up a future first. So if you combine those and just kind of look at the math on all that, I would say every four or five picks would cost you an extra round starting with a fourth. You want to go up four or five spots? It's a fourth. Want to go up six to nine spots? It's going to cost a third. Want to go up 10 to 12 or 13 spots? Going to cost a second. Anything more than that, probably next year's first.
And laying this out, again, just to repeat what you just said a minute ago, at least the case to be made for trading up is that it's unlikely that they can really make use of all these picks in the form of guys that will help them or even be on their roster. I mean, you always want to have the pipeline full, but
right,
really with where they're at, the likelihood of, you know, you said it. So, you know, I'm generally, like, I'm not as averse to moving up as, let's say, Mike is when he's here, but I probably don't want to do it, but, again, I don't usually consider it from a, well, is that guy realistically going to make the team standpoint, you know, and that
right.
I guess that's a real factor. I mean, I'd love to know from Brandon Bean, like, how much he's thinking about that.
And I wouldn't say, I think, to me, like, anybody fourth round or earlier is going to make the team. But if you can do it in a way where maybe you give up later picks, sixth, seventh rounders, I think then you have to say, like, look, I don't even think those guys are going to make it. So I'm okay with having less picks, especially if I'm giving those picks up. I think maybe the bigger reason to do it, to trade up, is let's just say they really believe they're an edge rusher away. They're not getting an edge rusher at 30 that's going to have double-digit sacks. It's just not going to happen. Probably not even really anywhere to get that much. But that's not a position that a guy comes in and makes an immediate impact where they're picking, especially. But if you could get up in like the top 15, and if Brandon Bean feels, you know what, there's a guy I really like, and that's the one player that might really get us to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the one player that's going to get us over the hump. I think that's the reason you do it, which is, I can't get that guy at 30. I'm in a Super Bowl window. I got to do this now. It's the same reason he traded a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs. It was the right time based on the build of their roster.
And to get up that high again, you're probably looking at a second rounder, right? From 30 to 15 is probably going by that, like a pick around for every five spots. So that probably is where you end up there. All right, cool. Of course, staying put is an option. And, you know, we've been around and around. I don't need to bring the Travis Etienne idea back up to you right now. But, like, that's a guy that I think the right running back at 30 could be someone who could impact them. Let me come at it from this angle. Do you have a read? I mean, we talk all the time, almost matter-of-factly, about not investing first-round picks on running backs, right? It's just not a smart idea. And, of course, I'm turncoating on that, and I'm going over to the dark side. I like this ETN idea a lot. How about the Bills? Do you have a read? I mean, you can look at two third-round running backs the last 2 years and say, like, you know, that's an indication, but, you know, it doesn't make it that they're averse to drafting running backs. What's your read on how they would feel about that position and the value in the draft?
I've always believed, based on the way Brandon Bean has behaved since he's been the GM, granted, LeSean McCoy was already here, you know, and they used him and they paid him. They even gave him a little extra, I think, after that first year or whatever. But, you know, since moving on from him especially, I think everything he's done has shown me that he doesn't want to use big assets on running backs. Mm-hmm. And that includes first-round picks, and that includes money. I think the perfect scenario for him is mid-round picks on rookie contracts and use them up. That's what we do. That way we can pay our quarterback. We can pay our other guys. I think that's the model he wants. I think Matt Breida is an indication of this. Maybe Matt Breida could be some sort of insurance if he really does like a guy in that spot. I wouldn't be surprised if they take a running back in this draft. I can't get all the way to thinking that he thinks a first round pick is something he should use on a running back based on how they've used their assets over the last few years on running backs. They just seem like a team that does not want to do that. And the financial structure and the financial model that he wants to build this team with is running backs who are not costing a lot on their rookie contracts that I can just basically replace when the time comes.
Right. All right, well, we'll see how that unfolds. You know, something else, Sal Capaccio, by the way, is with us here on the Wester Hotline. Before I get your story about a famous encounter for beers or wine or whatever it is, Tremaine Edmonds, I've been meaning to bring up to you because the fifth year option is, when is that, mid-May they have to make a call on that?
May 3rd. We're less than a month away. It's the weekend it's right after the draft. The draft they have to have the decision made by.
What's your feeling on that right now? Like, is it a no-brainer that they will take that, or do you think there's some question about it?
I think there's some question. I'm still very heavily leaning towards the fact that they're going to do it. And this comes more down to the fact of Tremaine Edmonds is a 22-year-old player who was a first-round pick of Brandon Bean in his first draft. And I believe in the things that they've said about him, the way they talked about him after the year, dealing with the injury, how much there's still room to grow, how good of a player he is and he's going to be. I just cannot see them not doing that. Now, there's a chance in my mind they don't do it, but still want to. I think it's always assumed that as soon as you say no, that means the guy's done, which a lot of times is. I mean, Shaq Lawson was like that.
Yeah.
But they also could feel we're not going to do it because we just don't want to guarantee that money because we'd like to work something else out. But they could also just do it and then work something else out anyway. You know, so give themselves some options by not doing it necessarily. I just feel that they believe in their principles of drafting, developing, and retaining. And so far, Brandon Bean has done that. He did it with Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White, Deion Dawkins. You know, guys haven't left. That's the first draft for him of Sean McDermott's first draft. They were there when Bean came in. I just think they really like Tremaine Edmonds' upside so much, and he's so young that they would not let him go and feel like if we do that, we could regret it.
Yeah. It does, but you said it. Like, there is some question. Like, those other guys were, oh, my God, are they going to be able to find a way to keep those guys more than there was a question about whether they wanted to or even the fan base wanted to, for whatever that's worth. Edmonds, I think, has got, you know, he's got his believers, and I think he's got his critics. And how big is the money for that? Do you happen to know?
14 million. Is it 12 or 12 point? I have to look back. Yes, I do know what it is because I tweeted about it because he made a Pro Bowl. It gets moved up. That's the new thing now, which is kind of weird, right? It's based on Pro Bowls. Same thing. I think it's 12.8 is what it is. I believe I have to look for sure, but I believe that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, boy, that is a big, I don't know. I don't think I want to refer to it as a gamble, but that's pretty big money. I think.
And it's guaranteed, by the way, as soon as you exercise it. It used to only be guaranteed for injury. That is not the case anymore.
Right. All right. Well, that may, you know, I brought this up too late in the segment because I've got other things I want to ask you about here, most specifically, like, rubbing elbows with famous people. Maybe we'll have to revisit this Tremaine Edmonds conversation. I'm sure we will. We talk about everything hundreds of times. Who are we kidding? We're on the radio. So it's National Beer Day, Sal. I know you're not a big beer drinker. But have you got like a favorite? You won't believe who I met at the bar. You won't believe who I got to have, well, for lack of a better way to put it, a beer with. I mean, it could be wine, whatever, whiskey. I don't know what your favorite is, but what's your best story?
I think I've told the overarching story on here before and even maybe the specific story, but I'll do it again because I love it. I used to do a little TV down in Sarasota with a guy named Don Gershio, Donnie G. And Donnie G was from Buffalo originally. He worked at a place, you might remember it, a long time ago. I don't know how long ago they were around. I'm not saying because you're old. The place was called Dektebrunns. It was called Dektebrunns.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know people.
Sporting Goods store. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yes, yes. So he got his start there. He went and sold Cooper and Bauer hockey equipment. And then he got in on the ground floor at Nike, like the ground floor as a salesman. So he made a lot of money, right? Because he was there at the beginning. And with that money, he retired to Sarasota. He bought a TV station. And we became friends. I got to know him through the media. And he was an older gentleman. He'd bring me up. I'd go on the sports show he created. Well, on the sports show, he'd have people who he came in contact with in Sarasota who retired down there, or baseball players, or all those kinds of things. And down there, you get a lot of those people. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So yep. I made a list of the people just through this show who I got to hang out with because we'd always go out afterwards. All right. And then I'm going to give you the great story afterwards.
Okay.
Jim Palmer, Bob Feller, Ray Nitschke, Tim McCarver, Carson from, the defensive coordinator of the Steelers through the 70s, Howard Hopalong Cassidy, the Heisman Trophy winner of Ohio State, Archie Griffin, Otto Graham, who was Donnie's really good friend, by the way. So all these people. But the guy I really loved hanging out with one time, and this is a cool story, was Mean Gene Okerlund. Mean Gene lived in Sarasota.
All right.
And he came on the show. We had a great time, and we go out. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is amazing for me. Mean Gene. I grew up, you know, Mean Gene and doing all the interviews and stuff like that. So we get to know each other. We exchange phone numbers. So I come back to Buffalo. This is early 2000s. I come back to Buffalo, and I'm telling my friend, Matt, I'm like, dude, you know, I got to meet Mean Gene. I got to hang out with him, have some drinks with him. I even got his phone number. And he doesn't believe me. He's like, no, that's not true. I'm like, no, it is true. I said, I will call him right now to prove it. So I pick up my phone, and I call Mean Gene Okerlund. And I say, Gene, this is Sal. My friend Matt does not believe that you and I hung out together having some beers. He goes, put Matt on the phone. So I put my friend on the phone. And he says, who's your favorite wrestler all time? And Matt says, Cowboy Bob Orton, which I don't know why Matt would choose that as his favorite wrestler, but that's a different story. He says, Cowboy Bob Orton. And Mean Gene says, with or without the cast. And that was amazing. And because that's what Bob Orton was known for, and Matt went crazy, and that's Mean Gene. Rest in peace, Mean Gene. He died just a couple of years ago, by the way, like I think just over 2 years ago. But that was a great night. I got to know him. I heard so many cool wrestling stories behind the scenes of the 80s wrestlers that night with Mean Gene. It was amazing.
That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that with us. We've kept you long. Enjoy the sunny weather, and we'll talk to you down the road, bud.
All right, you too. Thank you.
That is our Sal Capaccio. That's his I had a beer with. blank story. We'll open phone lines back up now. We got Brian Kozio coming up at 5 o'clock on our major golf bet, our Masters bet for this weekend between Mike, myself, and Brian. And we'll get into some Sabres as well with Brian. But between now and then, you want to get in on Tremaine Edmonds' fifth-year option, anything on the Sabres from the first hour, or if you just want to tell us the story of the most famous person you ever had a beer with, we'll take it. It's National Beer Day. It's 70 and sunny, and it just feels like a beer day to me all day. And plus, factor in, we're more than a year into this pandemic, and we've been probably missing out on a lot of beers with, well, you know, ordinary us, you know, friends, family. I haven't had a lot of that myself. I'll bet a lot of you haven't either. So I'd like to hear from you on that. 803-0550 is the number. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep is away. Sneaky Joe DiBiase along for the ride as always as well. And this is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think it's conversely a red flag if a quarterback is in a bubble and in a perfect environment at the collegiate level, because especially if he's going early in the draft, he's not going to be in that good of a situation. I think you can look at Josh Allen, that he was elevating the Wyoming program that didn't have, obviously, a bunch of top-level NFL players on it. So I think you almost want your quarterback to have gone through some strenuous situations when he's in college to prepare him for what he's going to deal with in the NFL.
That is our man Chris Trapasso. I mean, he has work here, but He's a dependable and excellent resource and guest for us. He was on the morning show talking about the draft there and the preparedness of quarterbacks as they come into situations. Like you said, they're normally probably not real good teams. San Francisco might, I think, is an exception. They look like a pretty nicely formed team, and they'll be picking third, presumably a quarterback. We'll find out which one in a few weeks. Good to have you all on for the ride with us here on a beautiful, beautiful April Wednesday here on WGR. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep is on vacation. Sneaky Joe DiBiase is on hand. Phone lines are open at 803-0550 if you want to get in and share a story about a good beer drinking story with someone famous. We'd love to hear it. I'll get Joe's here, and I'll certainly share mine. Quick couple of Twitter mentions. Adam tweets in on this that he bought Steve Tasker a beer when the Bills were in Denver for a preseason game in 2011. Chatted for a bit. He was very gracious to an annoying Bills fan. Ted, going way back for a Sabres North Stars game, got to play some pool with a couple of the guys from the Minnesota North Stars. Ian sends in on Twitter, Jimmy Carter and Garth Brooks. I don't know if those are
at the same time
or separate. Those are both really strong. We got a president and, I mean, one of the biggest stars in country music ever. That's going to be a pretty tough score to beat. Not that we're really having a competition. One other on Twitter, and then we'll get into some phone calls here. Frederick sends in that in 1982, they were headed home after a Bruins Sabres playoff game. and stopped in Batavia at the Holiday Inn for a nightcap. I assume these guys were in Buffalo for the hockey game and headed back to Rochester. Oh, yeah, he says here they're from Rochester Pavilion. Okay. They stopped in for a nightcap, and the Amherst were sequestered there during the Calder Cup playoffs, and he and his friends ran into John Van Boxmeer at the bar, and several hours later, I was full of great stories. So that's just a sampling, a smattering, if you will, of what we've got on Twitter. Let's go back to the phones here. We'll get Adrian up first this segment if we can. Adrian, hi, you're on WGR. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Sure.
So I'm in my 50s now. I was like, I think 16 or 17, working down in North Collins at a Boy Scout camp, and my brother, who's a few years older, stuck me into a bar down at the lake. So I forgot which lake bar it was, but it was during training camp, and I got $20 in my wallet and pretty much it. And Vince Ferragamo is there. That's when we brought him in, and he's playing pinball. So I figured I'll buy him a beer. So I bought him a beer, and he's sitting, he thanked me for the beer, and he's playing pinball, and there's a guy making millions. And I said to him, "Hey Vince, is it true what the press is saying?" And he looks and goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "Are you as slow as they say you are?" And he took his beer, stopped playing pinball, and walked away. And it was probably the funniest thing that I have ever experienced in my entire life. And I'm a homer. I'm a huge Bills and Sabres fan. But, dude, it was just the greatest thing ever. So needed to share that with you guys.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for calling, Adrian. Appreciate it very much. Vince Ferragamo got insulted by a friend asking him if he was stupid. That was the story. I mean, right, good. Let's see. Bruce is next up. Hi, Bruce. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR. How are you?
Hey, Bulldog. I'm good today. A story going back to the no-goal in Buffalo, of which I was at that game. The following year, and I didn't know this, but it was All-Star break, and we flew out from Toronto to Cancun, wound up drinking at Carlos and Charlie's on some random day. I turn around, and I look, and there's Eddie Belfour with about five or six of his buddies. So I walked up to him, and I said, "Hey, Eddie, my name's Bruce. I'm from Buffalo. I was at Game 6. They all stand up. I thought we were going to have a Donnybrook. I looked at him and I said, "Hey, I just want to say congratulations. Can I have a beer with you guys and take a picture?" And that's what we did.
So you got a picture with Belfour, and those were Stars teammates, or was he still on Dallas then or no?
It didn't look like Dallas Stars, because one guy had a crazy like hat on with all sorts of like fishing lures attached to him, and it was just kind of funny, and he was a couple sheets into the wind a little bit, so the conversation was a little bit silly, but we had a lot of fun and enjoyed it a lot, and that's my story.
All right, very good. Thank you for sharing, Bruce. Appreciate it. Joe, are you available here?
Yes.
Okay.
Available.
What's your story? Now I'll hopefully get to mine here at some point here before we get to Brian Koziol. What do you got for us?
There might even be a debate within my story. So this would have been a couple years ago. I would have been working here during the Bills game, but not in the capacity that I normally do. So I wouldn't have been hosting on the air, but I knew that the next day, the next morning, I had to be here because the Bills played and I had a shift in the morning. So I was out with a couple of buddies and, having one or two, nothing crazy. I knew I was going home early. I had a cutoff, like 10 o'clock maybe, 10:30. And I leave after a couple, and probably one, and then I get home to one of my friends texting me, "Hey, someone really famous just walked in the door. Joey Chestnut, the competitive eater." And yeah. Where we were was probably a good 20 minutes from where I live, so I had to make the decision, because they were apparently hanging out with Joey Chestnut, and one of my friends actually had challenged him to a chicken wing eating contest, and he obliged. Like, he's like, "All right, fine. Like, I'll try the wings here and see how they are." So I had to make the decision. Like, is it worth going back, 20-minute drive, 20 minutes back, and then knowing I'm going to be exhausted for work tomorrow unless I have to buy like 10 coffees for Joey Chestnut. And I made the decision that Joey Chestnut was not impressive enough to me as a celebrity to go all the way back. So I did not go back for that.
I respect at a young age having the wherewithal, the judgment to make that call. I guess I know if you were maybe a bigger competitive eating fan, maybe it would have been a little harder.
Yeah.
But good job. That he must have been around. I mean, he's been in town for the Wing Fest. I think
it was right around the time of
right.
that. No, well, because, that's in the summer, so it might have been for something else. I don't know.
But I've got like I put this up on Twitter at about 2 o'clock. You know, National Beer Day. Give me your stories. We'll take some on the air too, of course. And I got a couple of Joey Chestnut mentions in my in yep. response to that tweet. So I don't know. Maybe these are your friends, or maybe this is like it's not a unusual occurrence, or at least it wasn't at some point.
That he just hangs out like when he's here the Wing right. Fest. Yeah, right. I could see that. And again, yeah. like. It's not all about Joey Chestnut. It was about, you know, I worked the next morning. But there's definitely a level of, you know, celebrity that I would have made the drive back. I'm not sure who exactly that could have been, but I can tell you it wasn't Joey Chestnut.
Right. Your friend's calling and say, Tim Murray's here and hanging out with us. You'd probably go back to the bar,
I think
right?
I probably am, yeah.
Even though Tim Murray is not the level of celebrity that Joey Chestnut is still, like.
No, in my world, though, he would be, yeah.
That would be a, yeah, fine. Where do I got to go? right? Wouldn't want to miss out on that. All right, cool. Lines are open, 803-0550, 888-552-550. Brian Koziel coming up at the top of the hour. I'll share mine. It's one of my favorite stories, but it's an obscure celebrity. But people who will appreciate it will really appreciate it. I'll say that. Hopefully I can tell the story well enough that, you know, that it won't be that big a deal if you haven't heard of this person. Anyway, but in my world, this is a very famous person. You know, some people would get excited and say, Joey Chestnut, I got to get back there. Wow, I got to hang out with Joey Chestnut. For me, the person I'm going to tell the story about is that level of dude for me. Like, wow. So we'll get that. As we move here, Brian will be on to talk about the Sabres and our Masters/Majors golf bet. I'll explain that once we get into it at the 5 o'clock hour comes upon us. So hang in there. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Cruising along on a sunny Wednesday. Thanks for hanging with us today. Mike Schoep's on vacation. I'm the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. 803-0550. We're talking about the Sabres and the 5-game point streak. Yeah. 3-0-2. Last 5 games. Also, while recognizing National Beer Day, taking calls from you on your best story of like having a beer, rubbing elbows with somebody famous if you got them. With that in mind, back to the phones. Paul is up first this segment. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was a couple years out of college and taking a flight down to Staten Island for a college buddy's wedding, and a couple rows ahead of me were the 3 Sabres that were traded for LaFontaine. I recognized Turgeon and the whole flight, trying to get enough nerve to say something. And I just, as we got off the plane, I just said, good luck in the island. And, you know, loved your time in Buffalo. And he said, thanks. And, you know, it was, you know, they were other hockey players that were sitting there. But They were riding coach. They weren't anything but coach on that ride.
Right. All right, shared a flight with some Sabres on their way out of town after being traded. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that very much. Frank is up next. Hi, Frank. Thanks for calling. You're on the air on WGR.
Hey, I had the chance, guys, to play a match against Dominic Hasek when he was here with the Sabres. My friend's barber was also the barber for Dominic, and he set this match up. And I had played a few rounds of golf with a few of the Sabres, and most of them are very good players, so I kind of thought Hasek is going to be real good because, you know, he's this tremendous athlete. Well, we went over to Bridgewater. That's where my buddy played. But Hasek was terrible. He wasn't even okay. He was absolutely terrible, and I was shocked that a guy with this tremendous ability, hand-eye coordination, great hands, he even was horrible chipping and putting. So it was like I was in total shock. We won our match. It wasn't even close. Hasek would swear to himself in check while he was playing, throwing the clubs. He didn't really talk much. We go in after golf, sit at the bar like you always do, have a few drinks, shoot the breeze. And then you're supposed to pay the bill, you know. Not, I don't mean the bar bill, but the bet. He never pays. No money goes on the bar. Finally, I had to ask my buddy, hey, look, is he going to pay us or what? It's only $20. At that time, he was making $8 million a year from the Sabres. But it was funny watching him, and he was not at all good like most of the hockey players are.
All right, awesome. That's still a very memorable day to get to hang out with Dominic Hasek for that amount of time. Yeah, the rounds of golf are great. If our golf tournament, when we have it, affords you that opportunity. If you've ever had a chance to do that, there are celebrity foursomes you can Dominic Hasek. Not there, but there's opportunity there. So cool, and that's a good long afternoon. Of course, thanks for the call, Gary. Up next, hi Gary, thanks for calling. You're on WGR. No Gary, am I okay? Am I still here? Sometimes I worry. It's
yes, can you hear me?
Let's. There you are. Hi Gary, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Sorry, it was a very typical Zoom mute. You know how that goes. Chicago,
it happens.
15, and. On a business trip around, the June time frame, there, right when the Stanley Cup's being played. Chicago wins the Stanley Cup. I don't remember what day it was. I think it was Tuesday. Out of town. They come back Friday. My buddy, who I worked with at the time, we go out to the bars to have dinner. And we just go to the place that had the longest line the night before. It's called Rocket. And we get there. And we sit down at the bar. We have dinner. We're watching the NBA Finals. And it was LeBron James versus Steph Curry. That game ends with LeBron losing. You remember that?
Okay,
about an hour later, all the people on the other side of the bar get kicked off. All the TVs switch to a Stanley Cup image. We don't get kicked out because we're in a lucky spot. And then, another hour or so passes. The Stanley Cup comes in. They're playing that song that they play. The whole Chicago Blackhawks team with the Stanley Cup, they had just finished the parade, and they showed up at this bar. And we just partied with them all night long. They were pouring, champagne for everybody. It was like a horseshoe bar, and half of it was closed off for just them, and the other half was open to the public still. And they're doing, champagne across everybody and all that sort of thing. And, I high-fived Jonathan Taves as he's walking to use the bathroom. I mean, I had to ask a security guard. Stanley Cup was sitting directly across the bar from me for about an hour, just right next to me on the other side of like a little divider for like 3 hours, and all drinking out of it. It was fantastic.
It's awesome. What a memory. And you went to this place not having any idea really that the Blackhawks would show up there, that it was their favorite place or anything. Like, you just sort of innocently ended up there, right?
Yeah, we had no idea. Oh, the only reason we went there is because it had the longest line when we tried to go out after they just had won the Stanley Cup to like party with the Chicago people. It was just hard that it had the longest line. So we went to the next day. We said, let's go to that place that had the longest line. It's the only reason we went.
Right.
Look out these, we're on the second floor, I look out this window that they have. They're like out there holding the Stanley Cup on a balcony, and there's got to be like 10,000 people outside this restaurant. And there I am, some guy from Buffalo who really doesn't care about the Blackhawks at all. It's on the inside of that building. I'm never going to forget it. It was one of the most amazing times of my life.
That sounds fantastic, man. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that story, Gary. Let's squeeze one more in here before we get to the top of the hour. Tom is next up. Hi, Tom. You're on WGR. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bulldog. Let me set this up for you a little bit. I moved from Buffalo to Rochester in 1976, and with it. I went to high school in Rochester, and basically during that time, in my high school, the Bills were really bad. I graduated '82. Bills were really bad, and I think I was the only Buffalo Bills fan in Rochester, at least in my school, and probably what I consider myself to be the biggest Bills fan ever, mm-hmm. right? But anyway, the point is my buddy knew I was a Bills fan, and he somehow got hooked up with IC Shaw and Daryl Talley. Now, they had some kind of collaboration between the two of them, but I don't even know what it was about. All I know is my buddy said, "Do you want to go out with Daryl Talley in a limo scene tonight?" I go, "Come on." I was a kid. I was 20-something. I was like, these guys are gods to me, right? But I got invited because I was the only Bills fan that he knew. And we go to this place, this restaurant, and there he is. He's sitting there at a table, and there's a posse of them, right? There's a posse of he's got his own little posse, and IC Shaw's there. And I'm sitting at the end of the table, like, I can't believe what's happened. And all of a sudden, Daryl decides, okay, who's coming in the limo with us to go out and have a couple beers? And I don't say anything because, you know, this guy's a famous guy. The last thing he wants is me, you know, basically right. the fan who's just going to bother him the whole night. So I don't really say anything. So I'm a little guy, and he goes, well, what about you? He looks at me, goes, what about you? I think he probably knew I wanted to go. He goes, well, what about you? I go, I started hemming and hawing, and he says, why can't people just say what they really mean or something to that effect? And he didn't know that I'm a little feisty in me. So he goes, that really bothers me when people just don't say what they mean. And I looked at him, and there were 12 other people I didn't even know, and I looked at him, and I go, it's a lot easier to say when you're sitting over there than when you're sitting over here. And he looked at me, he started laughing, and he goes, you're coming with us.
Yeah, awesome.
So
we
ended up going out. We ended up going out, and we had a few beers together or whatever, and I just did what I knew I was going to do. I basically just started asking him all sorts of questions, like, is Bruce Smith the best defensive player ever? And he was basically saying LT is. And I said, is Thurman Thomas better than Barry Sanders? And he's like, Barry Sanders is in his own thing. But bottom line, I'll never forget that day.
No, that's awesome. I mean, there's not like lots and lots of people that will have a story as good as that, man. That's awesome. Thanks a lot for sharing. Appreciate the phone call and everyone who's chipped in here. National Beer Day, you know, who's the most famous person you had a beer with? Just love hearing the beer stories. We've been missing that element of our lives here for more than a year. So just some things came together, and I felt like today was a good day to sort of have some fun with that. We'll take a timeout here. Brian Colzio will get back into the Sabres as well as lay out our yearly majors golf bet between Brian, myself, and Mike, who is on vacation. I am the Bulldog along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR.